both Brian and I have jobs now that take us into people's homes. I mean, it's one of the joys of our work is getting to visit people in their homes. And it's really fascinating when you visit people's homes because you learn a lot about what they love, right? And I see Ruth nodding, and I don't have you in the sermon, but Ruth, if we visit your home, we learn that you love fabric and color and octopuses, right? And I'm thinking, Brian has a friend who was first a client who loves stereo systems and has so many of them. Just every corner of his house has some stereo system, and I think he's got extras that he doesn't have anywhere to put. We visited one of Brian's clients a couple of days ago who loves gardens. And, you know, just this spectacular garden with all kinds of flowers, and you can see that they have invested many, many hours and quite a lot of money in this beautiful garden that surrounds their home. If you were to visit our home, you would learn a lot about what we love. Books, music, there's my grand piano, surrounded by stacks of music, cooking, gardening, and if you happen to go down into Brian's garage, it is full of tools and various kinds of meters for measuring electronics and repairing things. And you can see that is where the minute he has some time, that's what he's going to spend his time doing. What we invest our time and our money in and our energy in tells a lot about who we are, doesn't it? What are you invested in? What would I see if I visited your home? And what would I see if I could look at your bank transactions? What would that tell me about where your heart is? What would I see if I looked at your schedule? What would that tell me about what you invest your time in? Jesus says that where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. It's an interesting way of wording it. It's not where your heart is, there your treasure will be. It's where your treasure is, there your heart will be. That what we invest in actually shapes what we love. It's long been said that budgets are moral documents. And they are. What we put our money into shapes who we become, who we are. One of the things that this congregation of St. Luke has committed to is spending 10% of our budget annually on outreach. And that's a minimum because we do that with our outreach grants. We give 10% of our pledges to outreach grants. I mean, 10% of the money pledged, right? And we're going to be hearing at announcement time, off and on over the coming weeks, about some of the ways that those outreach grants are being used from members of the congregation who invest their time in the organizations that we've granted money to. So today it's going to be Kempton and Fawn talking about the Presbyterian Church breakfasts. But that's one of the places where St. Luke is invested. St. Stephen, of course, is invested a lot in the Stone Soup Community Dinner. And just this week, I took a $10,400 and change check down to Centro de Ayuda. St. Stephen had received a gift from the Baptist Church across the street when they closed down. And we had a discussion about what do we do with this money? And we thought about what the Baptists were invested in. They were invested in feeding people. And so we took that check to Centro de Ayuda for their food pantry. What are we invested in? It shapes our hearts. It shapes who we are over time. What is our government invested in? That tells us who we are as a nation, and it shapes who we are as a nation. And of course, I think we know we have seen shifting priorities toward ICE, for one thing. Currently, we are tremendously invested in detaining and deporting people. A huge chunk of our money goes for that. And we have seen it actively shifted away from defending the orphan, pleading for the widow, caring for the hungry, caring for the poorest of the poor. Our government's priorities have shifted, and we can see a lot about where the heart of this nation is. It has been said, if a person shows you who they are, believe them. It's very different from if they tell you who they are. Look at what people are invested in. What are you invested in? You notice that when we look at that passage from Isaiah, God says, I really, really don't care about all your religiosity. That's not what I'm looking for. Matter of fact, I'm pretty sick of empty prayers and empty sacrifices. I'm not listening to that. What does God ask for? Turn your behavior around. Repent. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Rescue the oppressed. Defend the orphan. Plead for the widow. It's really clear what God's asking for there, isn't it? And though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be like snow. Right? Change direction. Start doing what God wants. Invest in that. And God forgives. God clears the record. God cleans you up. Changing where your treasure is changes your heart. So what are you invested in? And I think it's interesting to ask, too, what is God invested in? God is invested in us. God loves us wholeheartedly. And God's energy and attention and focus are on us. God wants what will make us whole. And so when God makes these demands that we seek justice and care for the most vulnerable among us, that's actually what makes us whole. That is what makes us whole as a community. Frederick Buechner in Secrets in the Dark, A Life in Sermons, said, when Jesus commanded us to love our neighbors as ourselves, it was not just for our neighbors' sakes that he commanded it, but for our own sakes as well. Not to help to find some way to feed the children who are starving to death, Gaza, is to have some precious part of who we are starve to death with them. Not to give ourselves to the human beings we know who may be starving not for food, but for what we have in our hearts to nourish them with, is to be ourselves diminished and crippled as human beings. God's reign, God's community is not just demand. It's a gift of what we really need in order to flourish as human beings. That's when we live richly. It's when we live justly in community. One of the things that I love about today's gospel is the way it holds in tension demand and gift. And actually, the verse just before it is, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be given to you as well. And then this one is, do not be afraid, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Seek it. Seek it with all your heart. Put your treasure there. It's God's gift as well. I was thinking, some time ago, Kevin and Annie sent us a video of little Charlotte, our granddaughter. And you may not be aware that Charlotte has cerebral palsy. And so controlling her body is really, really hard. And she's 2 now, but she's still working on learning to walk. And so she, you know, has been, for the longest time, was just sort of trapped in this immobile body. And you could see her longing to be able to play with her siblings, who are just, you know, this hive of activity around her. And Charlotte's watching them, but she was helpless to play with them. And so now they have what's called a gait trainer, which helps keep Charlotte upright, and then she can learn to move her legs and move this gait trainer, and it's practice for walking. Well, this was quite some time ago, but when she first got the gait trainer, Kevin and Annie sent us this video of her, and she's moving it sort of in spurts. She gets her legs to move, and she moves it forward, and pretty soon you see that her goal is the pantry. And she is working her way over there to the pantry, and she's reaching for this box of cereal, and she wants it so badly. You could just, you know, she is seeking this box of cereal with all her heart, you know. But she can't get there, right? And so pretty soon you see an adult hand enter the video and nudging this box. Right? And finally lifting it a little bit, and then, aha, Charlotte has it, right? I just thought of that as this beautiful seeking and gift, right? What do we yearn for? What do we long for? What are we striving for? Is it God's reign? Is it what God loves and longs for? Is it what God knows will make us whole? Which way have we pointed our lives? And then we know that if we long for that, if we reach that, it isn't about it our getting there on our own. It's about which way are we oriented? What are we invested in? Which way are we pointing? And God comes to us and gives us what we need. Did you notice that surprising, just very short parable in the gospel today? About the servants waiting for their master to return, right? And you expect it to be, so when their master gets there, they're ready to serve the master. But no. What the parable is, the servants wait expectantly, and when the master comes and knocks, what did the servants do? They open the door. They let the master in. And then the master comes and puts on the towel and what's needed and serves them. Serves them. That's what we get every Sunday at Eucharist, isn't it? The master invites us to the feast. We don't have to earn it. We just kind of have to open the door, right? Orient our lives toward it. Let God in. Let God in. And God gives us the feast. God gives us the gift of loving community. Do not be afraid, little flock. It is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom.